There's one thing I have to say. The Bible is heavy. I am honored today to be celebrating this special day, the Sabbath, and to add a little more, which is International Day to it, and to celebrate it with you. And I am honored for that. And I want to thank, first, before I open God's Word, I just want to say thank you to Pastor Wright. Papa Wright, thank you so much. Mama Carol, I don't know where you are at, but I love you so much. Thank you for the opportunity of being here. And also TPC staff and family, thank you so much for allowing me this Sabbath to enjoy it with all of you. And we're going to have a good time together. I don't know about you, but they were asking me, what type of microphone do you want? And are you the one that stays in one place? I was like, I can't. So give me one that I can move. Give me one that I can just demonstrate that when you have Jesus in your heart, you better move. You better move. Because there is happiness that you have to demonstrate, that you have to show. Because if you're in love with someone, you have to show it. I love that woman right there. And if you love God, don't you think that we have to move? We have to do it. So once again, thank you, Tacoma Park Church family, for this opportunity. With that said, I invite everyone to close your eyes, bow your heads. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about to open the best love letter ever written in the universe. We want to hear your voice. We want to feel your embrace. We are here because we are desperate of your love. In your name I pray, and together we say, amen. I don't know about you, but there's something about this world. How many of you have a luggage at home? Many, many. And how many would like to have a luggage? Because it's nice to get to know places. It's nice to just go around and see the beautiful things that are in this world that God created, yes or no? Because my eyes are seeing wonderful people, wonderful creation. A good amen will be there. Because I see, I'm giving you a compliment. Wonderful people, beautiful people. Because you are God's creation. My title for the sermon today is Diverse, but Not Divided. It's wonderful because every time that you travel or you go different places, even here in the States or any other place in our different states, everybody has a flag, yes or no? And when you see your flag, something starts to happen. I don't know about you, but I was really excited when I saw that flag coming up because, like Pastor Wright said, I was born here in the States. My parents are from El Salvador, so I needed to come prepared because I wanted to represent El Salvador. So, as you will see, because there are so many things that we many times carry in our luggage, I like to come with blue and white as El Salvador. But there is one thing. We love our flag. Because our flag has so many meanings to us, has so many things that is teaching us, that is giving us, that gives us strength in many times. So let me go quickly in something that we call our flags, because we love our flags. Look at how beautiful these are. Wonderful to see your flag. But let me tell you how everything started. It started with something called a banner. Have you seen banners? Banner, it started with something interesting. Is that the English word banner came from the word from Low Latin. That's all Latin. That it's banderia. That with time, it started to change to become what we know now as a flag. Why? Because in many ancient times, and we know this, and we have seen this in the Bible, when banners were used to distinguish a group of people. Banners were used to guide a group of people. Banners were used to make known that there was someone coming or there was someone that owned that place. Banners. But it's interesting because banners give us many wonderful emotions. The more that you see flags, you start to understand few things about them. The first one, that it gives you identity, because you know where you belong. You see your flag waving, you're happy about it because you know that I am from Jamaica. Because these flags just make you happy. It gives you identity. What else? It also gives you motivation and support. I am from Germany. And you, whoa. And then you feel that support. But also, sometimes it has to give you direction. Because with all of these things that are going on, how do you feel if you see that your country is not going in the right direction? You want someone to show where to go. Another thing, also flags are a way to demonstrate if you are surrendering or being submitted to somebody else. And last, flags are also a sign of victory and freedom. Let me just go quickly what the Bible said about each and every one of them. That started with a banner. Moses, if we know this, he used banners to demonstrate what are the different tribes. They wanted to know. When they were camping, they had a flag to demonstrate, hey, there is a flag. I know where the lions are, where the lions of Judah. I know where all of the tribes are. They were using a flag. Identity. This word is used 17 times in the New King James Version. Most of them are in the book of Isaiah, 8 times. Exodus 17, verse 15 says this. This is Moses. And Moses built an altar and called it by the name, the Lord is my banner, Jehovah Nissi. Is Jehovah your banner? Is he giving you identity? What about motivation and support? I know we all like our teams. I love soccer. I am not that good at playing, but I love to watch it. The World Cup is coming, and it's nice to see when your flag is coming. And when they are playing, you are not even close to where they are playing, but you're all excited. When they're about to score a goal, and they miss, and you're like, ah, well, the time is coming. The time is coming. Motivation, support. When you see your flag waving, I can do this. I can do this. I am from Colombia. I am from Argentina. I am from Brazil. I can do it. Because that flag gives you motivation. The Bible says, and this is a beautiful thing. Listen to this motivation, Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 10. Who is that young woman that shines out like the dawn? She is pretty as the moon, as bright as the sun, and as wonderful and awesome as an army waving their flags and banners. When they were waving flags and banners, they were conquering. They were going in the right direction. They were giving identity. Flags. What is your identity? What is your motivation? Direction. If you go to Washington, D.C., you're going to see many people that they have a little flag, and they're walking, tour guides, and everybody's following them because they are the ones that know where to go. And they are the ones always moving, and everybody's following them. They don't know where they are going, but they're just following that flag. And what the Bible said about following the right flag, following the right banner. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 2. Lift up a banner on the high mountain. Raise your voice to them. Wave your hand that they may enter the gates of the nobles. You see what we are called to do? Give directions to people. This is the banner to follow. Right here. It's right here. This is the banner. And then just wave your hands. Demonstrate your identity. Demonstrate that you're motivated. and then give directions. But there is something interesting. Surrender. A flag. The flag that means surrendering is a white flag. And if you are showing a white flag, you know that you are going to be directed by somebody else. Growing up in El Salvador, I lived during the war. And I remember seeing many people with a white flag. And they were not just surrendering for that moment. They were surrendering their identity, their motivation, and their direction. What the Bible said about that? Surrender. Isaiah chapter 31, verse 9. He shall cross over to the strongholds for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the banner, says the Lord, whose fire is in Zion and whose furnace is in Jerusalem. You know where you need to go. Zion, Jerusalem. We were singing a beautiful song. We are marching where? Zion. To Zion. But are we really marching to Zion? Or we like to march by ourselves? Knowing that there are so many other people that are waiting to see the flags moving, waiting to hear the voice telling them, come to the great, the gates of Nanavos, it's right here. Or we just go by and look at them. Flags means victory. It's wonderful when your team wins. Wow, you eat even more. You enjoy everything that is happening and you keep screaming. And listen to the victory that this flag that we need to show, God's banner, talks about. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Your identity, your motivation, your direction. But in order to enjoy the victory that God has prepared for you, you have to show a white flag. Surrendering to whom? To Jesus. I know it's hard to surrender more if you don't see that person. When you have to have faith to surrender. But when you surrender, you can hear Jesus waving his own flag, calling you to come close by and promising you this. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Amen. The interesting thing is that all of these points that we are reading, the promise of this beautiful country that we know God is preparing, it's what we are going on right now. How many of you have been crying lately? God promised, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes. How many have been experiencing in your family some death? Of you have seen friends dying. But God says, hey, there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow. There shall be no more pain. How many of you are going through a painful situation right now? You don't know what to do. Flags, banners. Jesus' prayer was special. The last prayer that he did while he was in this earth, it was a very unique prayer. John 17. Verse 11. Listen how this prayer starts. Now I am no longer in the world. I am no longer in this place where there are so many flags. In this place that there is a lot of crying, a lot of sorrow, a lot of pain, I am no longer in there. However, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, listen to this request, this plea, this longing. Keep them through your name, those whom you have given to me, that they may be one, that they may be one, that they may be as we are. Can you see your flag here? You know what? It's interesting because if you're trying to look for your flag, it just gets a mess. But we are diverse. But God is inviting us to not be divided. To be one. Why did he pray that prayer? Why did he say, I'm no longer with them. I am praying for them. Because I want you, Father, to take care of them. I want them to be one, just as you and I are one. Why? Do you think that it's easy to find your flag in this? The disciples, they were going through a really interesting situation. They were experiencing how diverse they were. They were experiencing that one of them wanted something, the other one wanted something totally different, and everybody had something, their own agenda. But God is saying, Jesus is saying, let them be one. It's interesting because this prayer in chapter 17 of John, Jesus starts praying for himself. And then he makes an introduction of the things that he was about to ask his Father to give to his disciples. He asks the Father to protect them, to guard them. He asks in this prayer to his Father to sanctify them. He also asks to be and help them to be united. And the last thing that Jesus asks is to also help them to be glorified. But why? Why God asks to guard them, to sanctify them, to unite them, and to glorify them? Because of three reasons. The disciples, they were weak. They cannot keep themselves. They don't have the strength that they were needing in order to fulfill the mission. That's why Jesus is asking his Father, please protect them, guard them. And in his prayer, he was also asking because even though they are weak, even though they don't have enough strength, but he was praying for his disciples because he valued them. They were worth. They were precious in God's eyes. They were his treasure, his jewels. That's why he was praying for them. Let them be one, just as you and I are one. Please, Father, protect them. Help them, sanctify them, glorify them, unite them. And the reason why Jesus also was praying for them, because there was a plan of salvation. And this is the reality. You cannot go back home, heaven, alone. If you are making your plan for your salvation to go alone, let me tell you, you're not going to make it. You have to go with someone else. You have to be united. Jesus, start with that. Please protect them. Help them. Because the devil is working what we see as diversity. We might look diverse, but we need to be united. Just look at this. This is the reality of our world right now. We're just in chaos. Everybody has their own agenda. We all are weak. Even though we know that there is a plan of salvation, even though we know that Jesus has prayed for all of us, and he said, I want my disciples to be one. How can we be one when our world is like this? How can we be one? And the amazing love that Jesus has for his disciples. He didn't stop there. He didn't stop praying for his disciples. Later on, he said something special. And let me read it to you. It's still chapter 17 of book of John, verses 20 to 23. Listen, because Jesus is praying for you. I pray not only for this, these that are weak, even though they're weak, but they are value. I love them. I they are my treasure. They are everything that I want to have with me, even though I'm not only praying for them. I am praying not only for this, but also for those, listen to this, for those who believe in me through their word. Not that long ago, I mentioned that we love our flag, but how many people are looking at your banner and they are excited about your banner? Or we're just passing by and not letting them know that the banner that we represent is a banner that has been stained with blood. A banner that brings salvation. A banner that brings glory to the Father that he's wanting, desperate, to come back and take us to our real home. He continues with a prayer. May they all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me, so that they may be made completely one, that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. This is the sad thing. The devil knows that we love our flag. He knows that we put many times our earthly flag in front of the heavenly flag. That we are paying more attention to the situations that are going on in our earthly place than paying attention to the promises of the heavenly place. And with all of this, the devil is doing what he loves to do. The devil wants us to be divided, using any means possible to make us be more attentive of how diverse we are, making us to compare with one another, encouraging us to look for difference instead of looking for similarities. He wants us to keep us busy in everything but the mission. So in the middle of all of this, we know what our mission is. We have to go all over the world to preach and tell everyone how amazing God is. But if all of this confusion, if God is praying to be united, can you imagine if someone decides to wave the banner and say, this is the place that you need to come in order to go through the gates of the novels. This is the place where you are invited to enjoy the blessings that God has prepared for you. But if we are not united, we might just be like this little megaphone. Can you hear me? But Jesus is praying, be united. I want you to be one. Father, please help them to be one. Because if they are not one, this confusion is going to continue to increase. The real banner, the real flag is not going to be represented. It's not going to be demonstrated because they are not united. But it's interesting because the more united that we are, the more we are leaving our earthly loves, and the more that we are coming together to the heavenly love and blessings that God is preparing, we start to make a little more noise. Jesus is coming.
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Wow, it's not working.
But you start to make a little more noise. But you need to be united. Be one. And it's wonderful when you start to see that united, you can do more. In the midst of this chaos, you don't need to look for your flag anymore. You don't need to look for the things that you like. Yeah, your food is amazing, but God's food is better. Let them be united. Can you imagine what we can do if we put aside our earthly likes, if we put aside our earthly roots and start to live believing, accepting that we are not asking for visas anymore, that we are not asking for a residence anymore, that we are being invited to be citizens of the heaven that God is preparing for you and for me? Can you imagine? It's not going to be a little way to say that the best is yet to come. We're going to be
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Wow, it sounds like it. 1, 2. Batteries are not working.
But your batteries better start to work. What batteries are the ones that you're using? Is it the ones that you like? Is it the ones that people like? Or is it the ones that God is inviting you to have? Family. We might look diverse, but we need to be united. Jesus, pray about it. Because he was looking at you. He was desperate for you to go back home. But not alone. There's many people outside that are waiting, desperate, for someone to show them what is the real flag that they need to follow. The flag that will give them identity, that will give them motivation, that will give them direction, even though they have to surrender to this flag, but then victory and freedom is going to come. What are you doing in order for people to find that flag? Or are you coming to church, enjoying how wonderful it is, but as soon as you go out, you still see people waiting for you to wave that flag that you are being just learning about. And you just do a look and go by. I finish with a wonderful quotation. Listen to this quotation from the book of the Big Four secrets to thriving a church family. So what does God do? He takes full-time ministers and disguises them as teachers, police officers, construction workers, nurses, etc. He gives them the necessary gifts, passion, credentials, and then he assigns them to a school, police departments, construction sites, clinics, etc., everywhere, like salt from a salt shaker. God scatters his full-time ministers everywhere to suit his flavor. We are all ambassadors of the gospel. We are all invited to be full-time ministers waving the real flag. One that is going to throw away this confusion and is going to bring you to the one thing that we need, and it's God. To the one love that we need to experience, is God's love. To the one nation that he is creating, heaven. Where are you promoting that you are going? There's a beautiful song. That all the kids like to sing. And working with youth and young adults, I feel like a kid because you have to enjoy it. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon, banners were used to tell that the army was coming. Banners were used to demonstrate that there was something coming that was going to be conquering a nation, conquering a place. But we are part of a special army. And I love that little song that goes, "We are soldiers in the army." Help me. You have to. Although we have to die. Let me stop right there. Although we have to die. Many people stop there. And instead of surrendering to the right flag, they keep surrendering to how diverse the devil is making your life, making your country, making the experiences that you're having. But the song doesn't stop there. The song continues. And it's a beautiful song because it said, yeah, although we have to die, we have to hold up the bloodstained banner. We have to hold it up until we die. So if you think that you are united, if you are starting to look at what other people looks, make sure that you are proclaiming the right flag. Because when you start to lift up the right flag, people will start to come. People will start to make questions. What is it that you believe in? Why are you always happy? Even though this chaos is going on. But you can say, I am just a passenger. I am just in transit. I am going on my way home. Because we are soldiers in the army. We have to fight, although we have to die. We have to hold up the bloodstained banner. We have to hold it up until we die. Put your name there. Are you going to be ready to continue even though you think you're tired? Even though you think you have done everything? No! We will finish this work when we get home. If you are not doing something right now, you better start doing it. We are not home yet. Many people are desperate to come to the United States. They're looking for visas. I wish to see people desperate to receive Bible studies. Many people are desperate to acquire the residence. The residency. how many people are desperate to be baptized. I want to see, as many times you see in the news, people outside of the embassies of different places, different countries, long lines of people waiting for the doors to be open so they can go ask for a visa. I'm waiting to see the moment in which all the churches, there are going to be lines outside, people waiting to hear what you, not the pastor, what you are going to do. We might look diverse, but we need to be united. Family. God is allowing us to be in this chaos because we have a mission to accomplish. I want to pray for the person that wants to take the stand for Jesus. That maybe you haven't done what you are supposed to be doing. You are seeing that there is chaos in the workplace that you are. Maybe in your family. But many times you know that people is waiting for you to say something about the banner that we believe in. But you haven't done it. But if you want to take the stand and make a compromise, not with me, not with the pastoral staff, but with God, to stand up, lift up that banner and say, Jesus is coming soon. I'm experiencing him and I want you to experience and get ready to go to the promised land. If you are that person, I want to pray for you. And I want you to stand. I know it's hard. But there is nothing better than receive identity, to be motivated, to have direction. Surrender to receive the victory that only God can give us. Where are you? I want to pray for you. Where are you? If you haven't done it, there have been a little more problems going on. But there is a banner that you need to lift up. The banner of Jesus. I want to pray for you. Just stand up, whatever you will you sing. God bless you. God bless you. There is a lot to do. Where are you? I want to pray for you. You are just taking a break of sharing the gospel. The time is over. You need to come back. Let's run together. Let's make noise together. Let's make that Jesus is coming soon. Who else? God bless you. Young people, I am tired to see that we're just letting other people do what we are supposed to be doing. So I'm inviting the young people. You have the creativity, the energy that many others don't have. So put it to the good use. To the proclamation that Jesus is coming soon. If you want to do it, also stand up. God bless you. Who else? You know people that we might never get in contact with, but you do. So preach. Let them know Jesus is coming soon. This chaos, in the midst of it, you still can shine. Because Jesus wants to use you. Praise the Lord. Now I'm inviting the whole church, the whole family. If you are doing it, don't stop. The best is yet to come. Look how many hurricanes, one after the other, earthquakes. These are just the beginning of the beautiful things that God is preparing for you and for me. He's coming soon. In the midst of this chaos, he's going to come, put it aside, and lift up the blood-stained banner that says, I love you, and I've done everything for you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, It's a wonderful thing that we're invited to be part of this amazing army. The way before we came, you were already praying for us. You were already asking God to protect us, to guide us, to not leave us alone. We know our mission. We know what we need to do. You have put us in so many different places so we can all become full-time ministers preaching the good news. Yes, the devil is working hard, creating so many different chaos because he wants us to be so busy in so many things that we never finished or we never even start with the mission. Father, you have seen the ones that have stood up. Bless them. It's a compromise that they're making with you. We cannot go back home alone. We need to bring many others with us. And I'm placing in your hands, O Lord, this beautiful family of Tacoma Park. They are here because you have a unique and a special mission for this church. Continue to use them. Continue to encourage them. Give them identity, motivation, direction. As they are surrendering to you, Father, and they are starting to see the victory that you have prepared for them. That people are going to start to come, not only to this building, but all over around the world, as we preach and demonstrate that we don't belong to this place. We are just passing by. We are going back home. In your name I pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. You all look wonderful. And for our visitors who want to practice diversity and how it's going to feel like when you're in heaven, you need to come to Tacoma Park Church, because this is Tacoma Park Church. We have people from all corners of the globe, black, white, Indian, and you have to be able to get along with everybody in order to enter the kingdom. So just in case you need some practice, just transfer your membership to Tacoma Park Church. So good morning, church. I'm just here to tell you that God is really good. Amen. That's a good amen. He is good. And if you, for some of us who don't believe that God is good, I just want to tell you, just let's take a look at the church finances. If you look at the back of your bulletin, in terms of tithes and offering, the church has received $1.1 million year to date. Brother Charles, that translates to 10.7 million income in the church. And according to statistics, 100% of the church members don't give. So we could say that 10.7 million plus 5 million, that's 15 million in the congregation. So God is good. If you have to look at our church finances, we are over our budget at $7,178. For those of us, if you recall last year, we were about $20,000 in deficit around that time last year. So we are $27,000 better than last year. So God is good. And also, we did not have a special fundraiser. And so far, we have about a $24,496 special offering. So if you have to combine that together, we are $51,000 in terms of giving as a congregation year to date. So we are good. But I have bad news also. You may think, well, we are $7,000 in terms of our giving. But a couple weeks ago, we had some roof damage. And God is good, you know. And it cost us about $7,200. So here you go. The $7,170 is gone. But God is working in our favor because he let us have that money in advance of the damage. So let us keep giving. God is good. And Brother Cartwright, I was doing some research. And the Redskins have the most expensive tickets in the NFL. Two tickets cost $272. And what you get for that? Two hot dogs, two beers, parking. At Tacoma Park Church, we give you much more than that. And you feel satisfied when you leave. Because whoever spent $272 last week to see that Redskins game, they lost the game. But when you leave here today, based on the preaching, you're going to feel spiritually filled. Our food is free. Our parking is free. So let us keep giving. When we ask for the money in this congregation, we don't ask for your money because we want it. We ask for the money because we need it. And in the word it says, bring ye all the tithes and offering into the storehouse. Because God knew, his servant knew, that we are going to need the money. We don't waste money in this church. Amen. Let me give you an example. Our office buys some business card for $70. And the finance committee was like $70. We saw business card for $10. So that's how we spend your money. We ask the questions and we make sure that your money is being spent wisely. We have a lot of visitors. We are not going to refuse your money. You can give online at www.thetippychurch.org. Thanks for giving to the church. May God bless us and let us, although we are diverse, let us unite in our giving because God has guaranteed us that he will open the windows of heaven for us. We'll now invite the deacons to come forward as we collect the tithe and offering. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for taking us safely through the week. We want to thank you for bringing us together in your house to seek yet another blessing, to hear your word, so that we can apply it to our lives. We pray for your Holy Spirit on our church leadership. We pray for your Holy Spirit for each and everyone sitting here today. And help us, dear Lord, as we step out this week, that we may wave the banner of Christ, inviting people to your kingdom.